Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, this is Saturday night, July the 8th, 2017. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each Thursday and Saturday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Well, on tonight, as I stated before, for those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, we now have Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to come forth on tonight, bringing us another word from the Lord on tonight. He's going to be coming forth from now on every second Thursday and also every second Saturday, bringing forth the word of God. So I'm letting you all know that may not know that may be encouraged on tonight. Before we go into prayer, I just want to put this out there so you will be aware and know that we have no excuses for not doing what God called us to do. So Deacon Marvin Cox is one of those that have an ailment, illness that he suffers with, and it's called muscular dystrophy. And he has been dealing with this for years, and he was a deacon in his church. But now that he's unable to get out to go into the house of the Lord and worship and praise God with among other saints, the Lord has opened this door through this worldwide platform, and I'm so grateful for him and for what God is doing through him through the ministry of this worldwide broadcast. He brings forth the word. He shares the good news of Jesus Christ. Men, women, boys, and girls are being saved because of Deacon Marvin Cox being faithful, his faithfulness in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I just want you all to know that he could have used that as an excuse, his illness, as an excuse not to do what God has called him to do. But I thank God that he's still standing on the wall. He's able to, even though he can't get out the house, he can get on his phone and share the good news worldwide. So I thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. So I'm asking our listeners, if you will please get your Bibles and pens ready so that you can follow along with him as he brings forth the word of God on tonight. First of all, he's going to share a poem with us, as he always will be doing from now on. He will always start off with a poem, and then he shares the word of God with us. So he's going to do the same thing on tonight. But before we go and have Deacon Marvin Cox read his poem and go into the word on tonight, I'm going to ask all listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come again to say thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for this another day that you have made. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. And, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. Forgive me of all of my sins and transgressions and my entire family as well. And also Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, Heavenly Father, so that your word would not be hindered on tonight, that it will accomplish everything that you set forth to do, even through the poem, that it will accomplish what it's meant to do on tonight. That you will be glorified through it all. And, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we pray, and also we lift up all those that may be tuning in and listening that do not have a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, who is not saved in his name. We pray, Lord, that a word will go forth, something will be said or done on tonight, that they would yield and surrender on tonight their lives, their hearts, their minds and bodies and souls to Jesus Christ, and ask him to come into their hearts so they can be saved in his name on tonight. And then once they are saved, they will come to know their God purpose, and they will walk in and fulfill and live in their God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we lift up Jerusalem and Israel to you. Heavenly Father, that your will be done in Jerusalem and Israel. We lift up all presidents and all those that are worldwide leaders over your people all over the land, including our bishops and pastors and shepherds, Heavenly Father, that you have appointed for such a time as this, men and women who are standing on the word of God, who are still preaching and teaching about sin, who are not afraid to stand on your word boldly and declare what you have said, Lord. They're not speaking their opinions or feelings, but they're saying and declaring what you have said in your word for your people for such a time as this. For we are truly living in an evil and last days. And we know that Jesus Christ, your Son, is soon to come again. So we thank you for your Son, Jesus, on tonight. We thank you for his shed blood, that he paid the ultimate price because of his love for you and his love for us. He died on the cross. And he paid our sin debt with his own precious blood. And he didn't have to do it, but he did. And we thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you that you loved us so much that you died for us. And now we can be redeemed back to our Heavenly Father, our Creator, because of what you did on the cross. And we can be forgiven of our sins when we call upon the name of Jesus and ask to be forgiven. And that's what we're doing on tonight. Forgive us, Lord, on tonight. Continue to use us for your glory is our prayer. Have your way on tonight that you will be glorified. Continue to bless and have mercy upon all those that are behind prison bars, for just and unjust reason, the sick and afflicted, touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, and comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved all over the land. Continue to have your way in this worldwide broadcast, Heavenly Father, because we know it's of your doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes, and we just give you the glory for it on tonight. You're so worthy to be praised. We declare it all by faith in Jesus' name, and all the people of God and all those that are in agreement with this prayer said amen. Well, on amen. Tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, please God over man. Once again, now, but tonight's spiritual food for thought says to all of us, please God over man. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. Once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I have one announcement that I am going to share with the listeners on tonight. The Lord has blessed me with this worldwide ministry, this worldwide broadcast. On last Saturday, I celebrated my 4th year anniversary. And now, since then, I have become the executive director. And I have 2 other hosts that have shows up under me. So I thank God for what he's doing through me and all those that come forth and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ over this worldwide platform. But I need your help, listeners. I'm asking that if you have a PayPal account now, and I will be setting up a post office box for those that do not have a PayPal account. But for those worldwide listeners that tune in faithfully, I need your assistance. I need your help to help grow this ministry, this broadcast, because we are at a level right now where we are reaching parts of the world. And I need to, and I know God wants me and this ministry to reach the entire world. So we have an opportunity to do that, to reach the whole world, that we can continue to stand on the word and declare the good news of Jesus Christ and compel men, women, boys, and girls to surrender their lives and hearts and minds to Jesus Christ and be saved in his name, because that's what it's all about. Because we know that God, his desire is that no souls be lost And that's not my desire or Deacon Cox's desire or any other guest that comes on this platform to preach the word and teach the word. That is not any of our agendas or motives or that we would like to see anyone die and go to hell. It's our desire, just as well as God, our Heavenly Father and Creator, is his desire that no souls be lost. So that's why I'm asking and seeking the help of the listeners. If you have a PayPal account, I'm asking you to pray to God and ask God to put in your heart whatever you whatever he sees for you to place or put into this PayPal account for this ministry, for this broadcast, so that we can reach further into the world and we can be the blessings to the world that God has called for us to be through this worldwide broadcast. And so that's my desire, and that's what I'm hoping and praying for you that are listening, or that will pray to God and ask him to put in your heart and spirit what he would have you to, if you have a PayPal account, to sow into this ministry, this broadcast, your financial seed through PayPal. If you have a PayPal account, my PayPal account, you would go into my email, which is all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com. I'm asking all listeners, if you have a PayPal account, asking you to pray to God and ask him to lead and guide you. If he sees fit, he would like for you to be a part of this and to watch this ministry grow, that he be glorified through it, so we can reach more people around the world, because we have an opportunity to do so through this worldwide platform, and that's what I want to do. I want to be pleasing to God. We want to be access to the kingdom of God. We don't want to be a liability. So when he opened the door, we want to take advantage of it. So I want you all that are listening to be a part of this blessing and watch God work through this worldwide platform and through this ministry. And this, he gives us an opportunity to grow or even further into the world through this worldwide ministry and platform. You will be blessed if you sow into this ministry. And I'm asking for those of you that do have a PayPal account, if you will please sow into this ministry, whatever God placed on your heart to sow through PayPal, sow it to my PayPal account, and which is all lowercase James, my email, all lowercase James underscore Brown 1558@yahoo.com, or on again, I will be coming forth with my post office box later on for those that do not have a PayPal account and you would like to sow into this ministry and a broadcast through a post office box. I will be getting that information to you all very shortly. But you will be blessed if you sow now, if you're able financially, able to sow whatever it is into this ministry through PayPal. I would be so grateful, and I know that God would be glorified and you would be truly blessed for doing so. But before we come forth with Deacon Marvin Cox to bring he's going to share with us his poem first, and then he's going to share with us the word of God on tonight. So I'm asking the listeners, please, again, get your Bibles and pens and paper ready now so that you can follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word. But before he comes forth with his poem, I'm going to do it in the form of a music break. I'm going into the other room right now, and I pray that you'll be blessed by this musical selection that I'm going to play for you, that God will be glorified through it. And right after following this musical selection, I'm going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us his poem, and following the reading of his poem, he will go right into the word and share the word of God with us on tonight. But right now, I pray that you would enjoy this musical selection on tonight. God bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord on tonight. For those of you that were not familiar with that tune, that song, that was gospel hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And isn't it good to know that we have a friend in Jesus? When we can't trust men, when we can't trust sometimes even our own family members, when we can't trust our best friends, those that's there in our corner, we can always trust Jesus Christ and thank God that he is our friend. So right now, I thank God for the word that is coming forth right now through Dick and Marvin Cox. So I pray that you would have your Bibles and pens ready to follow along with the man of God as he brings forth and share his poem first, then he's going to share the word. Dick and Marvin Cox, I yield the mic to you at this time.
Amen. I won't tarry before you long. Brother Brown, the word for tonight is, you were saying, it's better to please God than man. And what I love about God's word, it always connects the dots and it always coincides with itself. And I know that the best way to please God, that is to hear his son. Because he said in his word, he said, this is my son whom I'm very well pleased. Hear ye him. So if we hear God's son and trust and believe in God's son, it will please God. And our poem for tonight is walk by faith and not by sight. And that's one of the ways that we can please God. And it reads, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you will be all right. When you walk by faith and not by sight. When you try to make Jesus your destination, Satan will try to change your focus and your concentration. When Peter left the safety of the boat, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he stayed afloat. A disturbance was created in the background. Peter took his focus off the Lord and he began to sink down. When the Lord says, come, he has already made your way clear. The only thing that can stop you is fear. But if you get tunnel vision and Jesus is all you can see, nothing in this world can intimidate you or me. When the baby begins to walk and you put his back against the wall, the second he looks at the floor, he will surely fall. So when their parents outstretch their loving arms, the child knows the floor can do them no harm. If they should happen to stumble along the way, their parents quickly catches them and reassures them it's okay. Then before you know it, the fear is completely gone. Now you're able to walk and stand on your own. As you walk with confidence, you now feel you can run, jumping over each obstacle and barrier one by one. Don't take your eyes off of the Lord. I know you'll be all right, but you must walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We're going to immediately go into the lesson for this evening. Now, the lesson for this evening is a continuation for those of you that didn't listen in on the last broadcast that the Lord allowed me to be a part of. And that lesson was pertaining to the right way to tell your brother that he's wrong. And it was telling us that we must pull our brother over to the side and we must one-on-one begin to tell our brother of his wrongdoing. And over in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 1st verse, it was saying that if our brother is caught up in a fault, that we're supposed to restore him gently. So we must be able to pull our brother over to the side, and the Lord sets a certain protocol, which I get to later on how to deal with these type of situations. But see, this is a totally different situation that we're going to talk about tonight. It's a situation when you are in the minority and you must tell a whole group of people about their wrongdoing. You must tell and be able to confront people or a group of people and let them know that what they're doing is going against God. Now, our topic for tonight is coming out of the book, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse of Galatians. And the 16th verse, it reads, "Am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now, Paul here was asking a question. He was asking, because I tell you the truth, because I tell you that you are doing the things that are going against God, am I your enemy? Do you consider me because I'm telling you what's right? Do you consider me to be your enemy? And in our everyday life, we have to be careful because we are saying things that's going on in our homes, that's going on in our neighborhoods, that's going on in our everyday life that we refuse to make a comment about, that we refuse to address. Why? Because we don't want to. We want to, in going with Brother Brown's thing, we want to please men instead of God. And the Lord in Matthew 15 and 18, he lets us know that if your brother is wrong, tell him of it. So we must be able to tell our brothers and tell our sisters and tell our loved ones when they have stepped over the bounds of good conduct. And the word is simply telling us that we should have no fear. We should be able to go forth in the name of God and let people know that you're wrong. And not worry about the fellowship, not worry about whether people are going to like us. And I'm going to go to the first, I'm going to read the 4th chapter of Galatians. I'm going to start at the, I'm going to start somewhere around the 1st verse, and then I'm going to read down to the 16th verse, and then I'll summarize. And it reads, and this is from the King James Bible, and it reads very briefly. It says, "Now I say that the child differeth nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Remember, I told you, the Lord told us, this is my Son whom I'm very well pleased. Hear ye him. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that ye might receive the adoption of sons. See, now we're talking about heirs and heirs to the throne. But we must go through the proper protocol in order to be considered that. And it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, we know that Greek word for Abba is daddy or father. So he's going to give us that recognition if we would give that recognition back to him. It says, howbeit, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Now, this is just simply telling each and every last one of us that when we were doing what we were doing in the world, we did it verbatimly, we did it without restrictions, and we were worshiping those things that were not God. But it's a surprise for us. They said, and now, after ye have known God, which is letting each and every last one of us know that after we have submitted ourselves unto the righteousness of God, after we have been converted to that which God will help us to do. So after you have known God, after we have tasted, after we have attended church, after we have been a part of the service, after we have told the world that we no longer want to be a part of them, it said, or rather are known of God. Well, God knows everybody. He knows your heart. But I'd rather be known of God, or I'd rather be known by God. And it says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? And we have to think about that for one minute. Those things that have made me into bondage, those things that have enslaved me, those things that I put down a long time ago and swore to God, swore to the Lord and the angels, testified before the angels that I would no longer embrace those things. The word here is telling me that I have returned, that we have returned back to those beggarly things. Because see, you don't have to beg when you're in God. Because they ask and ye shall receive. And then he knows our needs, so there's no reason for us to beg, because God will meet our every need. Ye observe days and months and times and years. Now, this is the passing of the time. This is letting everyone know that sometimes we could get involved in that vicious cycle, and get involved in that vicious cycle so deeply that days and months and years bypass us and we don't even realize that we're transgressing against God. It said, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. See, Paul is letting the Galatians know that I'm not offended by those things that you're doing. I'm not going to allow these things that you're doing to, as we would say, to knock me off my square. I'm not injured at all, but it is my job to let you know that you have strayed away from the word as well as the will of God. He said, brethren, ye know how, though infirmity of the flesh, I preach the gospel to you at the first. So Paul is going back, and he's letting the people know that I also within the flesh, but we overcame the flesh through the Spirit. We overcame those things that would hold us and bond us and tie us down to worldly events when we embrace the Spirit and allow the Spirit to embrace us. Said, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, he despised not. Well, God's word let each and every one of us know, and it lets us know that unless you hate your mother, your father, so forth and on, even yourself, you cannot be a disciple of mine. So we said that that flesh has to be killed off. But well, these were the people that go along with wrongdoing. They accepted Paul for who he was, resting undone. So Paul is letting each and every last one of us know that we must, under all circumstances, examine ourselves. We must be able to differentiate, because there was a time when we were rebellious. It was a time when we was not go along with wise counsel. It was a time when we rejected the truth. So Paul is just letting the Galatians know that I remember those things. You remember those things. He's telling them, do not go back. Don't go back. There's no reason for you to go back to that. There's nothing but death and destruction in that area from which you come. Just like sometimes we may move from a bad neighborhood, but then before we know it, we hang it right back into that bad neighborhood. We're going back to that old neighborhood that we fled from. And people who see us, who know that we moved, they say, you here now more than when you lived here. And this is how sin does. If we're not careful, we will gravitate back towards sin, because sin is like a magnet. It will pull us back. See, that's why we need the strength, the wisdom, as well as the Spirit of God to repel those things, to repel those ways that is compelling us, that is begging us, that is beseeching us, that is pleading with us to come back from which we came. But Paul is letting them know, do not go back there. There's nothing back there for you. There's nothing that would be beneficial, or nothing that is essential to your soul salvation. In verse number 15, it says, where is there the blessings ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked your own eyes out and have given them to me. Now, we're talking about people that have sold out completely for the Lord, who are following the instructions of the Lord to the letter, who have nothing but Jesus on their mind, who have said and made the commitment and professed it out in public. For God I live and for God I die, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Because God's word say, if thy eyes offend thee, pluck them out. So anything that is an offense unto God, God is letting everyone know at this particular time, get rid of it. Whatever body part of yours that is offensive to God. Now you might say, what am I saying? Body part? Well, we have feet that are quick to run the mischief. We have eyes that can't keep themselves off our neighbor's wife. We have hands that practice kleptomania. So God is letting us know literally that these things that are an offense to him, these things, these body parts that we cannot control, even if our mind is wondering, God is letting us know, do not. I will not dwell in an unclean temple. These are not the things that are conducive to you getting to be with me. Because God's word tells us, it said that it is better to get into heaven a half a man than not to get in at all. Because if we trust God, he's going to make us whole. We believe in God, then this muscular dystrophy that I got is just a temporary thing. It's not going to, he said he's not going to hold no good things back for them who serve him. So if I can endure, if you could endure and just go through this temporary situation regardless of what it might be and be patient and wait on the Lord and keep him at the head of your life, all of these things will soon be gone, but nobody wants to suffer for the Lord. So let me move right along. Now, verse number 16, finally getting to the thought, and it says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And if we look at it, Paul is asking us a question there. He said, because I'm trying to save your life, do you consider me as an enemy? Because I'm trying to tell you what is right, do you consider me as an enemy? And we know an enemy is one who opposes. An enemy is one who would seek to take another's life. They, as I said, they're on opposite ends of the bridge. They are their ideas, their thoughts, their love, and everything is in direct contrast with one another. So Paul, he put that question to the Galatians. He said, am I therefore your enemy? I want you to remember back when, how be it? In other words, way back when you didn't have no instruction, when you worshiped things that was not God, when you didn't have the knowledge of serving a true and a living God, when everything was kosher with you, or as they say, everything was copacetic, and we began to pursue the lust of our flesh. And then one day that preacher man or that preacher woman came to us and told us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When that mother, when that father told us, no, I'm not going to allow you to go out because there's danger and there's death and there's destruction in the street. Are they therefore your enemies? When someone tell you that, no, leave your neighbor's wife alone, leave your neighbor's husband alone, is that your enemy or is that your friend? Paul has stimulated our intellect to the point that because we are doing something, we don't want to accept the truth, we consider that messenger of the truth as going against us. But I would want anybody that loves me to tell me, brother, you're going in the wrong direction. Brother, you need to stop it. Brother, this is no way to do. Brother, God is not pleased with your activity. Now, that's not an enemy, because your enemy is not going to tell you the truth. Your enemy is going to, he's going to lie to you. He's going to deceive you. He's going to beguile you. He's going to trick you. He's going to play you. He's not going to give it to you straight. He's not going to tell you that it's not worth it. You got to tame your flesh. God is not pleased with that. Only a friend will tell you the truth. Only a friend will put, if it's true friendship, your friendship is not on the line. But only a friend will address you. Only a friend will confront you without being confrontational. So we must learn to move ourselves out of the way, like Nathan did when he was talking to David. He moved himself totally out the way, like Paul was doing when he was talking to the Galatians. He told them, hey, I was as big a sinner as y'all was.
But then he said that you were ready to pluck out your own eyes for me. But no, I must move myself out of the way. Because you heard the good news, you heard the word of God, you was converted, you was able to live right, you were ready, able to do right, you was able to walk down the street without fear of repercussions because you had injured someone or because someone was seeking revenge against your life because you had done something wrong to them. My brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to stop considering people to be our enemy. On Sundays or whatever our day of worship is, when the word, because it's not that minister, it's not that preacher, it's not that rabbi, it's not that sheikh, it's not that bishop, it's not that person that's in the position of authority who's bringing forth the word of God that is convicting you. It's not him that is telling you about your wrongdoing. It is God himself through his word. It's God who is convicting each and every last one of us. That is a more excellent way for us to serve him. But what we do, we personalize it. We say that it all up in my business. But I'd rather for somebody to be up in my business and telling me about what it is that I have to do to please God rather than man. Because, see, man don't have a heaven to send me to or a hell to put me in. But God does. So we have to lose our focus on being an enemy. And we have become so fearful that people can establish, you know, they got a word out now. If you see something, say something. And that's all that's doing is just tell your brother that he's wrong, or tell somebody else that he's wrong. Because we can let people establish illegal activities in our neighborhood, and then a few weeks later or a little while down the road, one of our neighbor's children got molested coming past that house, or somebody got injured fooling around with those type of people. When we had that ability at first to say something about it and to do something about it, what is wrong with us that we have to put ourselves in a position to protect our enemy, to condone the activity of our enemy, to say, I'm going to live and let live, but I know that anything that is a threat to me or that is a threat to my family or that's a threat to the old lady down the street, I should say something about it, because we have got so comfortable and not saying anything or not wanting to make any enemies that we're going along with things. I remember when the old church lady, God bless her heart, would walk down the street and there was nobody that could scatter a crowd like that old church lady. The gamblers stopped gambling. The winos stopped drinking their wine. Got sober to Miss Isabel, walked past. Hey, man, put those dice up. Here come Miss Isabel. And she had the utmost respect of everybody in the neighborhood. She would go anywhere she wanted to go, do anything that she wanted to do, without having any type of fear of making enemies. Now, my brothers and my sisters, this is how we should be. We should not allow that fear to overtake us. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? But am I your enemy? Because I tell you that what you're doing is not right. Because I'm doing like Jethro did Moses and said, what you're doing, you're wrong. Let's say it's the right way, but now, unfortunately, we have put ourselves, or we have become the minority, because last week we were in that position where we could just pull our brother over to the side. The word says tell him personally. Don't have to broadcast it. Don't have to broadcast to your brother that in front of a lot of people that he needs to straighten up. So pull him over to the side. This is what God's word is saying. This is what the Lord is saying over in Matthew 15, 18 verse. If you go with me over there right fast. It's letting us know exactly how to handle that particular situation. Okay, I'll wait for you to get there. Let's say Matthew 15 and 18. You can just, once you get there, you can just let me know. Amen. Okay, still somebody's trying to find it. See, we must be patient. We must be patient with one another during these times. And don't worry about offending nobody. As long as you tell them in the right way. Galatians 6:1, as I said, it lets us know that if a brother is overtaken in a fault, to restore that brother gently. Not to broadcast it, not to make it a matter of public record, not to turn it into a personal vengeance or vendetta, because God says, vengeance is mine, and I shall repay. So we got to be able to turn that over into the hands of the Lord. We have to be able to look at things in their context and do what it is that the Lord will have us to do. Now, Matthew 15 and 18. Now, this is the Lord talking. It says, do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the jaw? The Lord is letting us know that when we begin, and we got to be careful of those things that we ingest, those things that we talk about, those harmful words that we use to against our brother and against our sister. But ask the Lord. Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? Give me the words to say to my brother or to say to my sister. Give me the instructions that I need in order to go forth in your name. Because if we go outside the ordinance of God and we offend his people and we begin to take things upon ourselves to say unto them, because I know that we have a fancy way of letting people know that we disapprove. But unto the Lord, see, because the Lord, he sent Nathan unto David. Nathan didn't go there on his own. Nathan didn't say, I'm gonna get that brother a piece of my mind. But he was sent by God. And the first thing he did, he painted a picture. But see, now, that was then. Now, as I said, one-on-one is okay. But when you confront that crowd, when that preacher has that difficult task of letting the whole congregation know, or most people in the congregation, they already know who they are, that they have ran afoul. They have doing contrary things against the Lord. That they're not coinciding with God's word. Am I your enemy? Because I know, and I'm quite sure that quite a few of us have at one time or another. But see, I can't speak for you because I know all y'all Christians. But I know that I have left out the vineyard many times. So hot, you could cook Sunday dinner on my neck because I thought
But that was in my feeble mind. I thought that the preacher was talking about me. I thought that the preacher was all up in my business. And as many times, if he really came out into the parking lot, I know him and I would have had a fist fight. I was waiting in the parking lot and say, "You got a lot of nerve talking about me like that." Then one day, the word came to me, say, "That man didn't mention your name. That woman didn't mention your name. That woman was nowhere, or that man was nowhere around when you was doing what you were doing against God." But if we go back to one of the scriptures, it said when we were known of God, we were known by God. So God is aware. So he's Alpha and Omega. He's here, he's there, everywhere. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. That means that he's everywhere. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. So those transgressions that I have done that is against my brother, that is against my sister, you can't hide that from God. We can't hide that from God. It's time for each and every last one of us to stop thinking that we are someone's enemy. Stop trying to please man rather than God. And Brother Brown, that was a wonderful thought that you brought forth today. Parents, stop trying to please your children. If it was all right for you to go to church, when your parents took you to church, why is it now not all right for your children to go to church? Why is it that we are saying to ourselves that my parents made me go, I'm not going to make my children go? Why? Because we're trying to become their friends by withholding the truth from them. Why would we want them to go against what is right? Why would we allow them to rebel? Why? I answer that question because we want to be their friends. We don't want to be their parents. Why is it that we put ourselves in that position where we cannot say no? What about the tantrums that our children throw, or our husbands throw, and our wives throw sometimes when we say no? I can't do it right now. Why we enemies? I hate you. I've seen that so many times when a parent rejects a child, and that's the most hurtful thing that a child could tell their parents. I hate you. But this is what we're saying to God when we go against what it is that he will have us to do. When he sent his messenger to come and let us know that we are the line, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I became your enemy because I know and I see the good things that you've done? But I'm just trying my best at this time to get you back on track, because I know it's a more excellent way for us to serve God. I know it's a more excellent way for us to live in peace and harmony. As I say, that's a question mark behind verse number 16. And it's letting each and every last one of us know, he that have an ear, listen what the word is saying. Allow it to marinate in your soul. But see, we don't want to make enemies. We want to be loved by all. We want to be accepted by all. We want to be on everybody's main man or main woman list. But I got news for you. If you're serving the Lord, somewhere along the line, you're going to ruffle some feathers. If you're serving the Lord, somewhere along the line, he's going to give you instructions for you to let that brother know or let that sister know that he's not pleased with their activities. So we prepare yourself. As I said, we don't want to make enemies with nobody. But if God is for us, who can be against us? If I'm just a messenger, and how many times have our parents sent us out on a mission, so I need you to go down there and tell this person this or tell that person that, but because of our own personal fears, we didn't tell them. So that means that we got more fear of the world than we do of our own parents. We got more fear of the world than we do of God. But God's words say, beware of him. You know, that can destroy, you know, that can destroy the body and the mind. And we know that man could probably bust you up pretty bad. He can just, you know, he can do some devastating things to you. But he can't destroy that soul. Regardless of what they do to that body, like God told Satan, hey, you could do what you want to his body, but don't touch his soul. That soul belongs to me. So whatever happens to you in your life, that soul is intact, and that's what God is coming back for. So am I there for your enemy? It's time for us to have a self-examination. It's time for us to, those that have opposed God, for us to quit thinking that people are picking on us or that preacher don't like me or that because they told us the truth. It's time to not see foreigners and strangers, but see understanding brothers. Not seeing enemies and foes, but seeing love and happiness in this place. So my brothers and my sisters, the question was asked this evening, am I there for your brother? Excuse me, am I there for your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Because, see, Paul had a history of these people, and he know, just like we know, and we got history of each other. We know what each other have done, but it's one word that we refuse to use, and that's forgiveness. If God has forgiven me, then it's time for me to forgive myself. If God has forgiven you, it's time for you to forgive yourself. If God has forgiven you, it's time for me to forgive you, and vice versa. Because until I let it go and realize that no one is my enemy, no one is my enemy that tells me the truth. I want you to leave away from this lesson tonight, feeling in your heart that no one is your enemy because they're telling the truth. Paul asked a powerful question this evening. Am I therefore, or have I become your enemy because I want you to do what's right? Now, I'm just paraphrasing, but that's the question is, because I'm concerned about your soul. May God bless you and may ever keep you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. What an awesome, much-needed word for such a time as this on tonight. I love the way the Lord uses you to minister the word, and I like that you included in your message, and as I shared with the worldwide listeners at the beginning of the show, Deacon Marvin Cox will be coming on every second Thursday and every second Saturday from now on, and he is a man of God, the deacon of a church. He can no longer get out of the house because of his physical condition. He suffers with muscular dystrophy. He could use that as an excuse not to stand on God's word, but look what he has done tonight. Look at the powerful word God used through him on tonight, and that's what he's doing through Deacon Marvin Cox. So whatever your condition may be, you may think it's a hindrance to you. Don't allow it to stop you from fulfilling your God purpose, because God has a purpose for your life. And I thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox. He's not letting his ailment stop him from preaching and standing on God's word. So I thank God for the word on tonight. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yes. And as the spiritual food for thought said on tonight, please God over man. Deacon Marvin Cox, continue to stand on the wall, continue to preach the word. God is going to continue to bless and use you like never before. So we thank God for you, Deacon Marvin Cox, and I thank God for you, my listeners. Continue to share the news and that this broadcast is every Thursday and every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. As we do, we always close out in prayer. I'm asking listeners to go in prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, we come to say thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word on tonight, Heavenly Father, a much-needed word on tonight. We thank you for this word on tonight. We thank you for Deacon Marvin Cox. Continue to strengthen him. And we pray, Lord, that your will continue to be done in his life for your glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each listener that faithfully tunes in. And we pray, Lord, that this word has went out, and we know that it's not going to come back to you void. We pray, Lord, that someone that was once blind can now say that they see because they have accepted Jesus Christ. They have asked him to come into their hearts whereby they can be saved, and they are saved on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we just give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us, for none of us are worthy of your grace or your mercy. But because of who you are, because of your agape love, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We just bless your name on tonight. You are truly worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. So we just give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. And again, all the people of God said amen. And for those that may have tuned in at the end and did not hear my musical selection on tonight, that kind of tied in with our message for tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus was this musical selection that I played for the listening audience on tonight. And so as the Lord sees fit, I will every now and then go and play one of the old hymns. I love the old hymns. That's what's keeping us today, the old hymns of the church. So we just thank God for the word on tonight through Deacon Marvin Cox. Continue to be blessed, listeners. Continue to know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Well, until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.